Well, let's kick it off. Mike, would you open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day. And, we just thank you for the food we're about to eat. And just thank you that we get to get together and learn about your word. And just pray that we have a great weekend and the churches go smoothly. And in Jesus' name, amen.
What I chose today, this is a book that Bob Ross talked about almost a year ago now, I guess. And so his son bought him a copy of this. And I went on Amazon and I bought this. The paperback edition is a lot cheaper than the bound one that he had. But it's a really good book. It's not the type of book you read cover to cover. It's a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions, and it's got some really good ones in here. And let me just read a little bit about it. The strength of the Puritan character and life lay in prayer and meditation. In this practice, the spirit of prayer was regarded as of first importance and of the best form of prayer. For living prayer is the characteristic of genuine spirituality. Yet prayer is also vocal and may therefore, on occasion, be written. Consequently, in the Puritan tradition, there are many written prayers and meditations which constitute an important corpus of inspiring devotional literature. Too often, extemporal prayer lacks variety, order, and definiteness, yes. The reason for this lies partly in a neglect of due preparation. It is here that the care and scriptural thoroughness which others found necessary in their approach to God may be of help. This book has been prepared not to supply prayers, but to prompt and encourage a Christian as he treads the path on which others have gone before. It's a really interesting book. As I said, it's not one you sit and read cover to cover, but just pick up occasionally, and there's hundreds, I mean, hundreds of prayers and devotionals in here. I just happened to choose one of them, but one that I thought was really interesting, but there are a lot of others in here, and I mean, I haven't even gotten close to reading them all as far as that goes, but it's really a very interesting book, and it's a book that anybody can add to their collection. I think I paid $8 or $9 for it, something like that, on Amazon. It was not very expensive at all, but it's a really very worthwhile, I think.
What's the history of the Puritans?
Well, let's see. This book is written by a bunch of these. Prayers are collections of a bunch of different Puritan authors. One of them is Charles Spurgeon. You probably heard of Spurgeon. He's one of the authors of this in this book. The prayers in this book are drawn from a largely forgotten deposit of Puritan spiritual exercises, meditations, and aspirations. They testify to the richness and color of the evangelical thought and language that animated vital piety in an important stream of English religious life. It is hoped that their publication will help to redress the neglect of the vast ocean of Puritan spirituality. The Puritan movement was a religious phenomenon of the 16th century and 17th centuries, yet its influence continued at least to the time of Charles Spurgeon, who lived from 1834 to 1892, who may be regarded as the last of the great Puritans. So that's the time frame for this. But every once in a while, our pastor will quote something out of Spurgeon, and so it lives on, even though it's. Even though it's a very, very old, he died in 1892.
So the Puritans, they settled in New England.
Yeah.
And the Quakers and the Amish, they all seem similar.
There's a lot of similarity between the groups, yeah. But
the Puritans, they established after the Pilgrims tried to come first. Right. Well, they did come first in Massachusetts, but they meant to go to the Virginia Bay Colony.
Right.
And they landed in Massachusetts. Then after that, the Puritans started the Massachusetts Bay Colony, I guess in Boston.
Right.
So where they ended up in that nice harbor there. But that was after the Pilgrims. They all had sort of similar, they're very strict. Puritans are very strict. You know, they're known in schools for going around with a bong. If you went to sleep in church, they'd bonk you on the head with a big old
They're very conservative.
Big stick. Big ball and a stick. Bop. So I remember from elementary school.
We see them as being very conservative, but at the time they were...
They were
pretty mainstream.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
At the time, they were known as people who were trying to escape. They were still trying to get away from England to have freedom of religion on the New World. But they seemed to... I can't remember if they started out better or what than the Pilgrims. Maybe they were already... They didn't have the setbacks the Pilgrims had. Maybe they had more people or more funding or something. They landed where they knew they
were. It was pretty widespread, the Puritan denomination.
Yeah, they tried to land where they landed. They landed where they tried to.
Well, let's get started on this one. This is, as I said, this is only one of hundreds in here, but just one that I liked when I read it, and I thought I'd share this with you. O God, the author of all good, I come to thee for the grace another day will require for its duties and events. I step out into a wicked world. I carry about with me an evil heart. Now, a lot of people wouldn't want to say they carry about carry a evil heart, but if you... That's what it says in the Bible. You know?
Everybody's a sinner.
A desperately wicked and evil heart. I know that without thee I can do nothing, that everything with which I shall be concerned, however harmless in itself, may prove an occasion of sin or folly, unless I'm kept by thy power. But it basically says if I follow him, I can stay out of this sin and folly. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Preserve my understanding from subtlety of error, my affections from love of idols, my character from stain of vice, my profession from every form of evil. May I engage in nothing in which I cannot implore thy blessing, and in which I cannot invite thy inspection. That's interesting. You know, he's saying is, you know everything that's going on, you know, so he's asking you to stay away from that. Prosper me in all lawful undertakings. Or prepare me for disappointments. So, either help me to grow and prosper, or help me prepare for when I fall short. Give me neither property nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Lord? Who is the Lord? Or be poor and steal and take thy name in vain. May every creature be made good to me by prayer and by thy will. Teach me how to use the world and not abuse it, to improve my talents, to redeem my time, to walk in wisdom toward those without, and in kindness to those within, to do good to all men, and especially my fellow Christians, and to thee be the glory.
Wow, that's a good prayer.
It really is. It's a very good prayer. And as I said, this book is full of them like this.
What year was this written?
Oh.
Like 1680 or something?
This is from, you know, Puritans all the way back to who knows where. Yeah, it's a collection of, I can't tell you exactly.
Well, I mean, it's like somewhere like 1700 probably.
Oh, yeah, probably in that range, 1700, 1800, yeah.
Well, they didn't have electricity.
No.
I mean, nobody did, so life is always tough to get your food. And, you know, you had to, hopefully it'll all be fresh food that you're eating. Unless they canned it, so nobody had to diet in America in those days, really.
The morning dedication. Almighty God, may I cross the threshold of this day. As I cross the threshold of this day, I commit myself, soul, body, affairs, friends, to thy care. Watch over, keep, guide, direct, and sanctify and bless me. Incline my heart to thy ways. You just read those few sentences, that's a lot. There's a lot in that, you know? Committing yourself, your friends, to his care, and watch over, keep and guide and sanctify. Mold me wholly into the image of Jesus as a potter forms clay. May my lips be a well-tuned harp to sound thy praise. Let those around me see me living by thy spirit, trampling the world underfoot, unconformed to lying vanities, transformed by a renewed mind, clad in the entire armor of God, shining as a never-dimmed light, showing holiness in all my doings. That's a big order. That's a tall order. But it's what we all should be striving for, you know. Let no evil this day soil my thoughts, words, hands. May I travel my path with a life pure from spot or stain. In needful transactions, let my affection be in heaven, and my love soar above in flames of fire, my gaze fixed on unseen things, my eyes open to the emptiness, fragility, mockery of earth and its vanities. May I view all things in the mirror of eternity, waiting for the coming of the Lord, my Lord, listening for the last trumpet call, hastening unto the new heaven and earth. Order this day all my communications according to thy wisdom and to the gain of mutual good. Forbid that I should not be profited or made profitable. May I speak each word as if it's my last word, and walk each step as if it's my final one. If my life should end today, let this be my best day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful when you read it. I mean, it's, you know, I've read this over and over again, probably, I don't know, half a dozen times or more, and there's a lot of power in this prayer. And the book is full of them. So I would highly recommend this book to anybody that's interested in it. And as I said, it's full of these types of things. This is morning prayer and dedication, those two. But they also have evening prayer and dedication, and they have all other kinds of things in here too.
So morning needs, that's the topic? These are like back-to-back pages?
Yes.
Morning needs and morning dedication.
Yeah, morning needs and morning dedication. Yeah. It really, they're all throughout this book, but I mean, they really kind of need to, they go with one another. One's my needs, and this is where I want to go.
May my lips be a well-tuned harp to sound thy praise.
Right.
Is that a metaphor? I guess so.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about, and as I said, the book's full of them.
Mold me wholly into the image of Jesus as a potter forms clay. That's one of the most familiar right there.
Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about the potter and the clay.
Yeah.
As I said, this is not a book you pick up and read cover to cover, but it's one that pick up from time to time, and there's just lots of stuff in here that I've not even close to been reading the whole thing, but I just pick it up occasionally and try to read the pairs like that, the needs and dedication. They seem to go together well.
Yeah.
And
in dedication, you've got a lot of, you know, there's almost every paragraph could be a prayer in itself.
Yes.
May I view all things in the mirror of eternity. Mm-hmm. My life's end today, let it be my best day. And there's just a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good book. Highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you.